Connor, it looked like a completely different Habs team last night, especially offensively.
It sure did, Jason, and it's great news for fans here in Montreal who were, we know what happens when a team's down 3-0. It's doom, it's gloom, and there's a lot of optimism here today. I mean, obviously it's a mountain, and it's going to be really, really difficult for them to climb it, but that was a really impressive performance. I'd say, honestly, all things considered, it might be the most impressive performance they've put up all season long, and it's a good time of the year to be able to say that.
It is funny how one win will change it. Now all of a sudden everyone's like, well, they're coming back. Tampa's got all the pressure. I'm not necessarily sorry. I still think Montreal has a fair amount of pressure. If they lose, they're done. That's a lot of pressure.
There's plenty of pressure, and you know, you don't need to be down 3-0 to feel the pressure here in Montreal either. The expectations are huge. That's what happens when you have a 110-point season, when you've got the guy who everyone expects to win the Hart Trophy in goal and a Norris nominee on the blue line. The pressure should be there, and they shouldn't be down 3-0 in this series, or they shouldn't have been, I should say. So, yeah, I mean, the pressure is there. These guys, a lot of them were on the team last year that made a run to the conference finals. They got derailed by the Carey Price injury, and I think that experience is really sort of paying off in spades for them right now.
We saw, you know, the Habs get off to the good start. Of course, the shorthanded goals definitely help. But, you know, the Andre Markov goal, like, it was funny. Like, Ben Bishop, clearly the back-to-back seemed to impact him because he just never looked in sorts at all yesterday.
It's true. And John Cooper said so after the game. Ben Bishop hadn't played a back-to-back all season long. And last year he did play a couple in the best season he's put together in his still fairly brief NHL career. But, yeah, he didn't look like himself. At the same time, I mean, I'd say that as good as Bishop's numbers have been, throughout the course of the first couple of rounds, I haven't been overly impressed with him. He's been fairly fortunate and had been against the Canadiens. They hit the post a number of times. And the Canadiens also hadn't been doing a good job of making life difficult for him. A lot of the shots were coming from the perimeter. They weren't really getting to those good scoring areas that you saw them get to last night. So they made life tough for him. When he's moving side to side, he struggles. And as we've seen a couple of times here in the playoffs, he also sometimes struggles with that glove hand. He can get a glove on one and then sort of flop it into the goal. We saw it happen in the Detroit series once. We've seen it happen twice in the Tampa series as well.
Max Pacioretty, you know, got the shorthanded goal last night. And he's been pretty good for them, but you need your best players to be better. The defense of the Montreal Canadiens has played very well. Some Oilers fans are rather livid every time they watch and see how Jeff Petrie is playing. And, you know, the more he plays like this, it seems like, you know, the more money he's going to earn if he goes to free agency. As the playoffs go along, do you get the sense the Habs are any closer to signing him? If they go deeper, does that improve their chances? Or do you think either way he's testing the market?
Well, it is an interesting question, and I can't speak for him, but I'd say the price tag is around $6 million a season at this point for Petrie, and that might sound crazy to a lot of Oilers fans, but he's been so, so good for the Canadiens, and the market is so thin this summer. There's so few blue liners available. I think somebody would love to pay for him. As far as the Canadiens' chances of signing him, one thing that you can sell here in Montreal is, first of all, it's springtime, it's beautiful day here today, 28 degrees. It's gorgeous. The city during a playoff run is a great place to be. It's the atmosphere is wonderful. I mean, everybody's a little bit happier. It's always a nice place to be this time of year, but especially when the Habs are still alive in the playoffs. So there's a little bit of an atmosphere to sell. And there's something else at play here, too. I mean, it's the Canadian dollar has Canadian teams in a position of weakness in a lot of ways, but also in a position of strength in others. If you're making your dollars in USD, the way these guys are in the National Hockey League, and you're spending them in Canadian, you're doing pretty well for yourself in this market. So that could be something that not only could work in favor of the Canadiens, but I think could work in favor of a lot of teams. So those are all considerations. I think they'd be crazy not to try to re-sign this player, especially with the decline we've seen in Andre Markov in the last couple of weeks. So they're going to need help on the blue line. You can't have too much, but cap space is going to be an issue. There's a lot of different factors coming into the equation here, but they need to make this a priority. There's no doubt about that.
When you look at the Canadiens, Connor McKenna joins us from TSN 690. you know, slowing down Steven Stamkos and not scoring is one thing. Limiting him to no shots in two consecutive games is another. Are the Habs doing anything specific on Stamkos, or is he just not doing what he should be doing? Like, to get no shots in two games is almost unheard of for a guy like that.
Yeah, well, everything about him is a little bit unheard of right now. You look at no goals in the Detroit series. He's got one in this series right now. But, guys, I can't help but think that he's injured. He took a shot to the hand from Carey Price early in the series, and since then he really, really hasn't been shooting. But come on, like, let's think about Steven Stamkos. When he's on, he's a 60-goal scorer in this league. And I know the Lightning have changed a little bit. Now they've got the Tyler Johnson line going, and they're less reliant on Stamkos. But for me, I'd be shocked if we don't find out there's something going on with him. But this is the first time in 4 years that this guy has gone two consecutive games without getting a shot on goal. I mean, that's a stat that I think speaks volumes as far as what's going on. And I don't like playing doctor. Well, I mean, at least not in this type of circumstance, but it's definitely something that I think is an injury. I got to think that's what's plaguing him right now, and has been, I think, for a while.
Yeah, you would think so anyway. The one guy, though, the Habs are going to have to focus on is Tyler Johnson. He just continues to roll. He's being the scariest goal scorer in the league.
Right, and it's incredible that they are a win away from the second round. They've got one goal out of him through two rounds, so it's definitely it's. I don't know if I'm waiting for the dam to break. Normally, I would in a circumstance like this, but he just doesn't look like he's about to find it. Right? I mean, whenever a goal scorer struggles, and it's so rare to see Stamkos struggle, you see signs that they are going to be able to get it straightened out. They are going to get a bounce and it's going to go in. I mean, it just doesn't look like that for him right now. So the Canadians are very fortunate in that respect. And I think that might have a lot to do with why Tampa's looking kind of lackluster and has through two rounds. I mean, for teams that are on the brink of getting there or teams that are already there, as far as the conference finals go, they look to me like the weakest, the most ripe for the picking, but they just kind of win one game and they haven't lost three in a row all season long. So it's a tall order, obviously, but the Stamkos thing is a huge plus for Canadians.
Well, the one negative is the play of Tyler Johnson. He's been unbelievable. 8 goals so far in the playoffs to lead the league in 11 games. He's got 12 points, you know, 26 shots. He scored again. I know it was a blowout game last night for Montreal, but he was the guy to give him that brief glimmer when it got to 5-2. The Habs just, they don't have an answer for him. How come?
Well, I mean, does anybody? He's an incredible, incredible talent. It's mind-boggling that this guy didn't get drafted. He's such a joy to watch. One of the most entertaining players in the game right now. But that's the thing about Tampa that makes them so dangerous, is that two-line attack. And it's not just Johnson. I mean, Kucherov has been unbelievable for them. It seems like he's scoring a goal or two every game. Andre Palat hasn't been a huge threat from an offensive standpoint, but, I mean, he's still there in those situations they're creating. So I got to say, I mean, it's all season long. People have been trying to figure out how to stop or at least slow down Tyler Johnson. The Canadians are just the latest example of a team that hasn't been able to do it. I think if you're Michel Therrien and you're game planning, I mean, you're doing what you can to try to limit those guys. But if that's the only line that's doing damage, then you've still got a shot. And that's sort of the way that it's working for them right now.
If the Habs lose this series, which, and, you know, you mentioned Tampa Bay's never lost three in a row all year, so 4 would definitely be a monumental shock. What will be the reaction? Like, obviously, it'll be considered a failed season, but I don't see any major changes in Montreal. Do you?
I might have said yes if the Canadians lost that game last night, depending on how they did. But I think the fact that they did get this win against Tampa, because don't forget, that would have been 9 consecutive losses to Tampa this year, many of which occurred in sort of embarrassing fashion. So the fact that they did beat them, they chased Ben Bishop, they got that sort of monkey off their back, so to speak, I think really did volumes. I think the fan base would be much more accepting of a loss now and say, well, maybe, you know, a lot of bad bounces and what can you do? And Michel Therrien would hang on. But had they lost that game yesterday, I wonder about Michel Therrien and the questions about his future. Maybe Guy Boucher would be a guy whose name would start to come up here in Montreal. Maybe Mike Babcock would be a guy that you'd approach. I think you'd be crazy not to. And I know you guys were talking about him on the way in here, but the Canadians have a lot to offer a guy like Mike Babcock. We mentioned Carey Price and PK Subban. I mean, cornerstone players. Max Pacioretty arguably qualifies as that as well. They have very attractive contracts. They have term right now, and they have a championship window that I think is sort of starting to open up. So that's something I'll tell you. If I was running the show, and it's not even a slight to Michel Therrien, I mean, you're talking about the best coach in the business. I think you do what you can to try to get that guy or at least make a play for him. And I think he's the only non-French-speaking coach that would be able to, I don't know if the word is survive, but would work in a market like Montreal. What are you going to say? It's Mike Babcock, two-time gold medal winner, Stanley Cup champion. I mean, you can't really hate on Mike Babcock.
Well, it's funny. I had mentioned that last hour that Montreal, I felt if they lose Michel Therrien, some people think that, you know, he kind of has a short window as a coach before his style wears off on guys, and that Montreal would definitely be a team that, you know, they could afford it to, you know, it's still the mecca of hockey in a lot of people's eyes. So, yeah, that would be another team for sure. The one thing is a guy with your namesake has coming to Edmonton, and the opportunity to coach a franchise player seems rather enticing for many coaches.
There's no doubt. I mean, it's not just that, too. There's a lot of positives going on there in Edmonton. And, the story on TSN today, we saw it on SportsCenter, Jordan Eberle and Taylor Hall talking up Todd McClellan. And obviously, I think that they're sort of making maybe a bigger story out of that than it actually is. But
of course.
It's still a nice thing. It's a nice option to have. You know, I'm really happy for the fan base in Edmonton because even if your consolation prize is Todd McClellan, that's a heck of a coach that you have out there. And they're in a win-win situation here. They already have a covered stock full of guys. They're about to add the best player to come along in the last 10 years. And the guys whose names are in the mix as coaching candidates are all excellent coaches, let alone the fact that in comes Peter Chiarelli, who I think got a bit of a bum deal there in Boston and is an excellent executive. Based on the information I have, his hand was forced on the Tyler Seguin trade. I don't think it's something he necessarily wanted to do. He wasn't dealing from a position of strength, but he really sort of paid the price for that. It seemed kind of dumb to me. We'll see what the Bruins do, but as much as I've been critical of Craig McTavish and Kevin Lowe in particular over the years, I'm so happy for the fans out there because you've got a great group of fans. You guys deserve to be covering and talking about an exciting, fun team to watch, and it looks like that's going to happen. So I'm really happy for pretty much everyone in the city of Edmonton except Kevin Lowe.
It'll be a welcome change for the Oiler faithful to have reasons for optimism. Connor, appreciate your time.
Cheers, Jason. Always a pleasure.